Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and we're going on a tour of the bright planets and stars that you'll see overhead during September. Ask someone about this month's astronomical significance, and the answer you'll most likely get is the autumnal equinox. This year, September's equinox takes place on the 22nd at 10:49 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At that moment, the sun shines directly overhead as seen from the equator. Days and nights are both 12 hours long. That's where the word equinox comes from. And no matter where you live, the sun rises due east and sets due west. September's equinox is also a sure sign, as if you needed one, that days are getting shorter. Sunset comes earlier and earlier, by 7:30 for most all of us. The moon was full on August 31st, so this month begins with that big bright orb ruling the evening sky. It takes the moon 29.5 days to run through a complete cycle of its phases. What this means is that new moon comes about 2 weeks later, on the 15th for the Americas, and the following full moon, known as the harvest moon, another 2 weeks later, on the 29th. Traditionally, this name applies to the full moon closest to the equinox, but that's not always in September. 3 years ago, for example, the harvest moon was on October 4th. Here's how it got that name. Ordinarily, the moon rises about an hour later each night. But during late September, for reasons I'll explain in a moment, the moon rises only about a half an hour later from night to night. So that means there's no long period of darkness between sunset and moonrise for several days following the actual date of the full moon. In bygone days, that was a big help to farmers trying to bring in their crops, and hence the name Harvest Moon. So here's the reason. The moon's apparent path across the sky isn't far from the ecliptic, which is the imaginary path among the stars followed by the sun and planets. It turns out that during autumn, for us northerners, Earth is tipped in space in such a way that the ecliptic traces a shallow path in the evening sky, staying relatively close to the horizon. And during its evening appearances this month, the moon happens to be positioned below the ecliptic. So, for example, the first quarter moon on the 15th will look particularly low in the southern sky after sunset. How low is low? Let's find out. Stretch out your arm and clench your fist. You can see that the first quarter moon is no more than the width of two or three fists above the southern horizon. Now I'm going to tell you where to find bright planets in the sky, but let me warn you that you'll have to work at it just a bit. Before twilight gets too deep, find yourself a perch with a clear view toward the west. Look that way about 45 minutes after sunset, and you'll see a bright star well up in the sky. That's Arcturus. Right now, the sun sets almost directly below it. So find that sunset point on the horizon, then draw an imaginary line that goes gradually upward toward the left. About the width of two fists along that line, you'll see a little star glimmering in the twilight. That's not a star, but the planet Saturn. Now slide your gaze two more fists along that line until you reach a second star, which is the red planet Mars. Now it'll get progressively harder to spot both of these planets toward month's end. On September 19th, a lovely crescent moon will be parked right next to Mars in the evening sky. Jupiter doesn't rise until a little before midnight, but it's so bright that it'll be hard to miss. Just a little to Jupiter's right is a bright star called Aldebaran, and well to its upper left is the star Capella. The last planet in this month's list is Venus, which is putting on quite a show high in the eastern sky before dawn. It actually rises about 3.5 hours before the sun, roughly 3 a.m. So, if you should happen to be out really late and see something that looks like a UFO hovering over the eastern horizon, well, it's most likely Venus. Let's return to the evening sky for a little stargazing. Even before it gets completely dark, you can lift your gaze way up to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega. It's relatively close by as stars go, just 25 light years away. When the gleam you're seeing right now left Vega, it was 1987. My, how time flies. Now slide your gaze past Vega, about 2.5 fists in the direction opposite Arcturus, to a second bright star called Deneb. Astronomers aren't sure of Deneb's exact distance. It's roughly 100 times farther away than Vega. But it's still quite the sparkler, isn't it? That's because Deneb is a real powerhouse of a star, pumping out at least 100,000 times more light and energy than our sun does. Now look for a third bright star, called Altair, about 3/5 to the south of Vega and 4 from Deneb. Week by week, this trio of easy-to-spot stars, known collectively as the Summer Triangle, is gradually migrating westward in the sky. It'll be with us for several more months. If you're lucky enough to live in a really dark location, far from city lights, you'll have no trouble seeing a delicately glowing river of light that we call the Milky Way, vaulting high across the sky. That's the combined light of countless stars in our galaxy's midsection. But chances are, you're not so lucky. Sadly, light pollution has robbed most of us of the chance to see the Milky Way at all. As it turns out, some of its richest concentrations of stars are in the vicinity of Deneb. Can you see a faint glow up there? If you're not sure, try again closer to midnight, when many lights have been shut off and Deneb itself is almost overhead. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend some time with the constellation Cassiopeia and find out why this queen is so vain. Until then, I wish you clear skies.